Take your Bibles now and turn to Joshua, book of Joshua chapter 24, and we'll be looking at verses 13 all to verse 25. This will be the last message in a series of messages entitled Blueprints or Bible Blueprints for Better Homes, and we need better homes. We have given you in the past some statistics, some information about what's happening to our homes. It's very disturbing. We will not review all of those, but today we want to emphasize something that Joshua's decision, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's the decision, and the only decision, the right decision to make. And so the title of today's message, as for me and my house, Joshua 24, and we'll begin reading. You follow as I read the Holy Scriptures, beginning with verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, in cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Folks, I submit to you evidence that somebody or everybody serving somebody or something. Just a fact of life. We are serving somebody or something. We have a God one way or the other. So if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our father and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, you're saying it, and you're going to have to keep your word, and God's watching. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance. That is, he put it before them to remind them that they had made this promise. He set them a statute, a rule, and an ordinance in Shechem, and that's the place he had gathered them together. Verse 15, the latter part, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua said. Joshua here was an old man. And Joshua had gathered together a group of people in a territory north of Jerusalem called Shechem. And he had gathered all of the people that would come, and most of them were there from all of the land of Israel, to give them these admonitions. He assembled the assembly together in Shechem. And then he reviewed the unfaithfulness of their forefathers and brought to their attention the fact that they had been unfaithful to some degree. And that had to change and should change. And so he presented to them in verse 15 the choice. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, to serve God, then don't do it. But if it seem right, serve the Lord. But I've made up my mind, my house and I are going to serve God. And so he said, you have volition, you have choice, you can do what you want to do. So what was their choice? What was the choice they had to make? Well, it was between the gods of the people that they had run out of the land, or the gods of their forefathers, or the gods of this world, let's say, or the true and living God. Who's in charge of your life? We all have gods. If we're not careful, it's not the true and living God. It may be the God of materialism. It may be the God of popularity. It may be the God of pleasure. It may be the God of sensuality. I don't know who your God is. I would hope that it's the true and living God, but everybody has a choice. Sometimes there are people in a service who don't want to be in a service. They're bored with a service. They'd rather not be here, and the reason is they have other gods. They'd rather be somewhere with the other group, drinking or doing drugs, or maybe just staying in bed, or maybe having some pleasurable experience somewhere. That's their God. They'd rather not be here. But those who know the true and living God love Him, and they're glad and thrilled to be in God's house. And they've asked God to speak to their hearts and give them something, and to bless the speaker and the preacher so that he might be able to say something that will be meaningful to them. They love God. They love God's house. They want to be here because they've chosen to serve the true and living God. You do have a choice. You can choose the gods of Egypt. They had many gods. What kind of God do you want? I mean, there are all kinds of gods in our society, and you can choose one of those gods. And they had them there. They had the God of nature. Well, we have that God that's available. They had Mother Earth that they could worship. And that is certainly something that the Indian people and others who are in spiritism have many, many years worship. And they worship Mother Earth and maybe some of the spirits of the ancestors there in India, reincarnation, you name it. It was all there in Egypt. Worship an animal if you want to worship an animal. Worship the sun if you want to worship the sun. Or worship the river if you want to worship the Nile River. And they would take their children, literally their little babies. This is baby day. They'd take their little babies and drown them in the river Nile and offer it to the river, because to them that was their God. That was the only source of water for them, primarily to live in the place that was total desert. So they worshiped the river. We can worship anything we want to. It's out there. The gods of the Amorites that he mentions in verses 14 and 15. He talks about you can serve the gods of your fathers back there. You can serve the God of the Amorites. The Amorites had a lot of gods. One of them was Baal. You could worship Baal. Baal would be like Buddha. You remember the prophets of Baal that God told Elijah to get rid of, 450 prophets of Baal? And their God couldn't even show up. And Elijah had fun, like a Baptist preacher. And he said, well, maybe he's asleep. Or maybe he's gone out to Chili's to eat a big hamburger and french fries. I don't know where your God is, but he prayed a little prayer, and all of a sudden the fire came down and lapped up the sacrifice and the wood and the water around it. And he said, that's the true and living God. You can have a God if you want to. Idols and all of those other things. But we need to have the true and living God. And when we do, we need to determine to have a Christian home, just like Joshua said, I'm going to have a home that is given to God. I'm glad that we have 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Paul writing to him. And I'm glad we had a character by the name of Timothy, who I believe was a godly Christian young man who served the Lord and was respected at an early age. Paul even said, don't even look down on yourself because of your youth. You get out there and serve God. Don't let anybody stop you because of your youth. And he was writing to young Timothy. But he also mentioned about young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thy grandmother, it was dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, What he was saying was that you had a mother and grandmother that taught you the things of God, Timothy. And they made up their mind early in their lives that their house was going to be a house dedicated to God. And they brought little Timothy up correctly. And when little Timothy was young, he got saved and then he began to serve the Lord. And God certainly commended him and Paul commended him. But he had parents who made up their mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. No wonder Timothy was so available to the Lord at that point in time, and Samuel and others. Then why was the choice really made in this relationship? He said, you make the choice, and they made their choice, and Joshua made his choice. But I think it was primarily because of God's goodness. Let's go back to verses 12 and 13. And he's reviewing for them what God had done for them. And I sent the hornet before you. I used to play football for the Rayville Hornets. That was a good name for a football team. Now, I think somebody must have removed our stinger because we had about a 50-50 season most of the times that I played on the football team. But he said, I sent the hornets before you, and the hornets drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. He said, you didn't do it, I did it. God said, I did it for you. And I've given you a land for which ye did not labor, cities you didn't build, and you dwell in them, in the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. God said, I just want you to remember, Joshua said, I want you to remember God's the one that put us here.
Amen.
And folks, what we have today, eternal life, salvation, the grace of God, the mercy of God, we didn't earn it, we didn't get it. He gave it to us by His grace. That's why we're on our way to heaven. If we're on our way to heaven, it's because of God's mercy and God's goodness. And Joshua said, don't forget what God has done for you.
Amen.
Don't forget what He's done. God's goodness and the promise of heaven. You and I have that, don't we?
Yes.
We have the promise of heaven. He promised them a land. He said, I've done this. I'm going to get it ready for you, and you're going there. Thank God Jesus is up there making for me my mansion. Maybe already made, I don't know, but he's up there busy. He's doing whatever God does in the form of the person of Jesus Christ. He's done it all for me. He's made it ready, and I'm going there. And he's reminded them that God is the one that did it. That's why we need to choose to be on God's side. God has purchased through his beloved Son. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. God has purchased for us eternal life. Where was the choice made? I like sort of the idea of where it was made. It wasn't made at home watching television or playing games or any of those other things. But where was it made? Go back to chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called the elders of Israel. In other words, he gathered them together at a special gathering place called Shechem. He brought them together. And I believe that speaks to us of the church. The assembly, that's what he did. He assembled them together in a locality, in a local place. And then he preached to them and told them and challenged them and gave them some admonitions. Where do we get that kind of thing today? It's at the church. That's why church ought to be a priority to us. To be in God's house, unless providentially hindered, should be a priority of every born-again child of God. Because of who he is, because of what he's done, we assemble ourselves together at the house of God. And we're given in Hebrews 10:25 the perfect admonition from God where he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't be in the group of the manner of some is. Amen? Be in God's house. Do you know you're going to learn some things there and be challenged there, and you're going to have some encouragement and other things that go on in your life in the house of God you're not going to get anywhere else. And he says, determine that you're going to serve God. And I like it. Dr. Barber and I, sometimes in the past, we've talked about people, and I'll say, you know, that's a good family that just came into our church. Boy, they want to do something. They want to serve the Lord. And he uses this term. He'll say, yeah, they're good church people. And I know exactly what he means. And we might mention some other family says, they're good church people. They've always been good church people. What does he mean by that? That they just joined and set out? No. He means they got involved and they made up their mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God in the local New Testament church which he has ordained, and we're going to be faithful to it and get involved, pray for it, give in it, serve every way we can, because it's God's work. And God, we made up our mind, we're going to do it. And you cannot thoroughly please God unless you're involved in a church. Everybody ought to have a church home, just like you have another home. And that ought to be the place where you go, where you're blessed, where you receive God's blessings from the preaching and teaching of his word, the music, all of the different things that come. Have a church home, be faithful to that church home. And I want to add this to you, since we're talking about children and a little bit about baby day. Parents, listen to me. Don't criticize your church or your church leaders in front of your children. That's a sin before God, and it's going to have a negative, bad impact on your children. I don't care who you are, how much you read your Bible, how much you pray. If you criticize God's leadership, God's people, God's staff, God's men, and the church of the living God, you're going to have problems. That doesn't mean that sometimes we can't have disagreements and work those things out, and we're human. Even husbands and wives have to do that once in a while, don't you? I saw two people act like they didn't, and I know they're lying about it, you know. That's a dead giveaway. But we work those things out, but we don't get a bitter, angry, critical, get even vengeful spirit. Where is Christ in any of that? It's not there. He is not there. I don't care who we are. He is not there. So we're to support the church and be for the church. And love the church and do everything we can to make it a better church for the glory of God. Now, how was this choice made? Well, the first part of verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Two things about the choice. Be sincere and be truthful. Do it in sincerity. Do it in truth. The word sincere is a Latin word in the Latin. It comes out like this, without wax. And the idea is that a lot of times they would make a vase and maybe that would be broken. And so they would take wax and put that part of the vase back in there and maybe paint over it. Somebody would take it home and find out later when it got a little warm that they had put wax in there, and that part would fall out. Nobody wants to buy pottery like that or something like that or glassware like that. And that's what he's saying. Be sincere. Be without wax. Be real. Make up your mind that you're going to serve God and give it 100%. Be sincere. Be without wax. Be real. Be without any blemish is what it means. And be truthful. In other words, do it in sincerity and truth. Truth means you're dependable. You've told the truth. And the preacher can depend on you to serve God. Your wife can depend on you, husbands, to serve God. Wives, your husband can depend on you to serve God. And teenagers, your parents can depend on you to serve God. You have said, I'm saved, I love Jesus, and I'm going to live for him, I'm going to serve him. Without wax, sincerely, and with truth in our lives, trustworthiness, it can be depended upon. I think another thing that they did here when they made the choice was they had devotions. I believe they spent some time in devotions and spending some time not only in truth but putting away the other gods, spending some time before God in doing the things that were right. And I believe that should be true in our lives. Have family devotions. I said a lot about that the other day in a message, so I won't talk about that. But let me encourage you, parents, get you some material. By the way, we have some booklets out in the track racks. You can pick those up every month, take them home with you. Great devotions in there. Good old King James versions of the scriptures in there. Good illustrations. Good devotionals. If you don't have any material, get that. We don't charge anything for it. We get it and make it available for our church people. Then you can order it if you want to continue to do that later on. But have family devotions. As for me and my house, we have decided to serve the Lord. Let's spend some time together in his word and have some time to do it. Deuteronomy 6 is commonly referred to as the Shema in the Old Testament. And that's simply a recognizable term to the Jews about what was done in Deuteronomy 6. And the writer said, here's what needs to be done. You need to hide God's word in your heart, basically. Know the word of God, and then write it up on the doorpost and put it in the phylacteries over your head and put it on your wrist and the other places. And when you get up, talk about God. When you're walking, talk about God. When you're working, talk about God. And when you're at home and just about ready to go to bed, talk about God. Keep God before your family all the time. That's what he's saying. And that would be good for us to do in family devotions, to do that. And I believe that God indicates that a lot of people, young children, can be saved at home during those times of family devotions. We'll have some little children coming out here between birth and 1 year of age in a little while. And I hope their parents will take time in their lives as they are become old enough to have devotions with them, because they can be saved at an early age. 2 Timothy 3:15, talking about Timothy again, that from a child, get that word, a child, a young child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Folks, I submit to you evidence from the Bible that a little child can learn the Bible. They can be taught those things from the Scriptures, which are able, the Scriptures, to make thee wise, little child, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He's saying, teach them the Bible at an early age. They'll learn who Jesus is, and they can trust Christ at an early age as their Lord and Savior. What a good challenge for parents to do for their children. And don't be afraid of their getting saved, even at an early age. I don't think you should trick them or fool them into that, but teach them the Word of God, have devotions with them, spend some time in the Bible, tell them about the doctrines of the faith, the cardinal doctrines, teach them about the virgin birth the best you can at an early age, teach them about the infallibility of Scripture, teach them about how to be saved by grace, and that's the only door and the only way whereby we can get saved. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. The broad way leads to damnation. And then we see when that choice was made, when it should be made, and when it was made. He said in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you, what are the next two words? This day. Choose you this day. Folks, if you're here without Christ, today is the day you ought to get saved. If you're here and you hadn't really made up your mind and come to grips with the fact that you need to serve God with all of your heart, you've made up your mind that you and your house are going to serve God with all of your heart, then friend, today would be the day to make your mind up. Dads, today's the day to make your mind up. Mom, today's the day to join Dad and make your mind up, or vice versa. To serve God with all of your heart today, because you're not guaranteed of tomorrow, very simply put. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone this afternoon. But we can make up our minds that we're going to get saved today. We're going to follow the Lord today. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Make up your mind when you begin your marriage. Amen. Marry a saved person. Saved person, marry a saved person. I'm a little more narrow than that, because I believe the Bible says, except two agree, they can't walk together, Amos 3:3. I think you ought to not only marry a saved person, but marry somebody who believes the same doctrines you believe. Marry somebody, the best thing is marry somebody in your church that attends your church, or a church of like faith, because you're going to get along a whole lot better together and raise those children together in the doctrines of the faith. Make up your mind you're going to serve God, and you're going to marry somebody that's going to serve God and believes the Bible and believes the cardinal doctrines, the irreducible minimums of the faith, and you can get together and serve God together. Make up your mind. You say, well, but he's got money. He's a doctor, and he's going to make a lot of money. But he doesn't know Jesus, and you're going to marry him anyway? Yeah, I know, and you're going to change him, right? You'll never change him that much, I'll tell you that. It'll be a miracle. It does happen occasionally, but I want to tell you most of the time it doesn't happen. Marry somebody that is saved. Don't just look for popularity and materialism and brag sheet and all that stuff. Marry somebody that loves Jesus, like you love Jesus. You should love Jesus. And then begin that marriage in the Lord. And then begin with your children at conception. At conception. I believe life starts at conception. You say, well, why do you believe that? Because I believe the Bible. Because David says something about that. The Bible tells us clearly that at conception there is life. That's why I'm against abortion. You say, what about incest and rape and the life of the mother? Maybe in a medical sense, there might be a time where that could be done, but I personally would be uncomfortable with that. I believe God has to handle those things. But I can tell you that they are minimum time. Maybe one half, if maybe 1% of all the times that abortion is had, it is because of convenience. I mean, because of those things. The rest of the time, it's because of convenience. It's because people want to live a loose lifestyle, or they don't want children to get in their way. God pity any couple that doesn't want children in their way. Now, maybe you've been called, and God in His providence has not allowed you to have children, and there's a reason for that. You can always adopt, and I believe adoption is a whole lot better than murder, amen? Yes. And you can adopt those children. There are plenty of people who want a child, but it begins at conception, and that's the time whenever you find out you've conceived that child, turn that child over to God and say, oh God, my husband and I and our firstborn and then those that come along after that, praise God, we give them to You. We yield them to You. We dedicate our children to You. It's for me and my house and our children, by God's grace, we're going to serve the Lord. And then begin today to train your children. Children grow up quickly. They grow up so quickly. You teenagers, you hear your parents say that, and sometimes I'll say to our kids, I've been here almost 10 years and they were little squirt daubers when I got here, and now some of them are taller than me and I have to look up to them and I say, man, you've grown a lot in 10 years. And my goodness, you're a young man now. And it just seems like a vapor, just like I snap my fingers and time's gone. And you parents, your children have gotten up and out of the nest, and some of you said, boy, I'll be glad when they leave the nest. And then your wives cried for 6 months after that, and every once in a while they still cry. And you do miss them, that's true. But it's only, should I say, normal for them to get out of the nest. And it's more normal for you not to have to continue to support them financially. But at any rate, it seems like they grow up so quickly. Now's the time to be training them. Don't wait till they're 13, 14, 15, say, well, I better get with the program and better start training them because they're teenagers now, and boy, no telling what they're going to get into. You better start way down here. Teach them to respect authority. Teach them what's right. Teach them what's moral. Teach them all of those different things. Begin today to train your child. Train them and say, look, this is a Christian home. We're Christians. We want you to get saved someday. We want you to serve the Lord, and here's how you do it. And one of the best ways to know how to do it is watch mother and daddy. Amen. And that's the best way. It's going to be more caught than taught, ladies and gentlemen. And they're going to watch you as an illustration. They grow up quickly. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now's the time to train them up, to train them up. And so you need to make those determinations. Let's bow our heads, please. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord while every head is bowed. May I say to you, dear friend, first, listen carefully, first you must be saved. First, you must be born again. You cannot say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord until you get saved. And I hope if you're here, Dad, today, without Christ, you'll be saved. Mother, if you're here without Christ, I trust you'll be saved today and lead the way. You may be a single mother or a single parent, determine that the best way is to be born again and that you're going to serve the Lord and trust Him as your Savior. Receive Him in salvation. And then for those who are saved, that we will surrender and be bound and determined that the priority of our life and the priority of our home is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. The highest and most revered book in your house should not be Plato or Socrates or some other material, but it should be the Holy Bible. Visible, readily handy, and oft used. Having devotions, having prayer time together. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need some dads to come to the altar this morning and say, God, I hadn't been doing that, but I'm going to start doing it. We need some mothers who have that responsibility to say, I'm going to start doing it. We need some young college and university students to say, by the grace of God, my main vocation is not what I'm training for, but my main vocation is as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to marry in God's will. I'm going to be a born-again believer, marrying a born-again believer, and we're going to serve God together. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Father, we thank you so much for Joshua and his commitment, his surrender, his vow to you. It's for him and his house. They were going to serve the Lord. Thank you for his admonition to the people, the Jews, that he was speaking to, that he had gathered together in the assembly, where he challenged them to make a promise and to be sincere. And where he reminded them, you cannot serve God. You cannot serve him with all your heart until you make up your mind and you get sincere about it. And God's going to hold you accountable. And he was very honest with them about it. And they said, that's all right. We're going to serve God. We'll take the vow. We'll let you write out the ordinance to remind us of it. But we're going to serve God. And I pray that that be so today. Speak to the unsaved. Speak to mothers and daddies. Speak to us that we'd rear our children right. Speak to parents that they would be the right example and they would not be critical of God's leadership in the church. Even though there might be some disagreements from time to time, that it would be in a sweet spirit of Christian love. That we would love one another for the sake of Christ and hold the church high because it is your organization. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.